Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck, he's Clay, and we have some breaking news for you right now. We've been discussing the January 6th committee, the insurrection, as they call it, even though not a single person involved has been charged with insurrection or rebellion. In fact, mostly just trespassing, some destruction of property, and some people who assaulted law enforcement. Generally, the left is fine with assaulting law enforcement as long as it's under the banner of BLM or Antifa. But we're going to have to go through this again with the January 6th committee, which is really just meant to make sure no one spends time thinking about how ineffective, absurd, and blundering Joe Biden and his entire administration have been so far. So we're going to hear about the threat to our democracy every day from now until the midterms. Get ready for it. And that's always the tell among lib journos when they use the term threat to democracy, even in the context sometimes of justifying their own threats to democracy. Like, oh, I don't know, fleeing the Texas state capitol, halting the business of the Texas legislature because they're upset about something. But the breaking news for you is that the GOP is pulling, McCarthy is pulling all Republican members from the January 6th committee because Speaker Pelosi vetoed the appointment of Representative Jim Banks and Clay, our friend Jim Jordan, who we think we'll be having on later on in the week. Turns out Pelosi really doesn't want fighters who know this game on that commission. I wonder why.
Well, and I mean, this, I think you were prescient on this because ultimately this is going to be what the Democrats are left with, right? Because they're not going to be able to run on crime, and we're going to get into that in a little bit because of the rampaging rates of crime accelerating across the country. They're not going to be able to run on certainly the economy with inflation roaring back where it is right now. We'll see whether this massive multi-trillion dollar budget can get through or not. The border is a disaster. And so if you're trying to play, where can you focus and argue that you've made a tremendous difference? I think they're going to be left with COVID if COVID continues to decline, and the insurrection. In other words, if you vote for Republicans in 2022, they are going to be saying you are threatening the very core of democracy because look at what happened in 2020.
Right.
And they're just going to keep beating this drum over and over again.
Don't look at results. Don't look at inflation.
Right.
Don't look at the border. The border's the worst it's ever been. We talked to Senator Ted Cruz about this yesterday. Don't pay attention. Don't listen to your lying eyes or your ears or whatever. Listen to what, you know, Jen Psaki Bomb has to say about the situation. That's what they want you to know. But speaking of your eyes and what you can see, and Clay mentioned this, you may have seen another, let's be clear, this is not the first time this has made the news, another viral video of shoplifting, but not just someone grabbing something and making a run for it. No, shoplifting in Los Angeles at a TJ Maxx store, where individuals just loaded their arms up with as much as they could carry and really rather casually in broad daylight walked out of the store. And here's why. They know that because law enforcement is under the microscope because of the BLM movement and critical race theory and all, any law enforcement action that could involve placing particularly a minority under arrest, if it's videotaped, could be the end of that officer's career, even if it's justified use of force. But even more to the point, perhaps in this case, what we see is that in these instances, store employees are being told, Clay, don't do anything, don't intervene. It's not worth the possible risk, the possible lawsuit, the bad press of having store security try to physically bar someone from leaving or do anything about it. And so criminals see this and they say, great, no consequences on site. If it's less than $700 in San Francisco, at least, I don't know what it is in LA, They won't arrest you. So even if you call the police, you're on your own. This is the lawlessness you get of a social justice first left-wing narrative of the law doesn't count. We have to take everything has to be seen through a lens of intersectionality and historical oppression and all the rest of it. It's madness.
It is. And what I would like to do, Buck, here is open up the phone line specifically for people who have seen this happening. Potentially, I'd like to hear from employees, people who are working in stores and are seeing just clear shoplifting. And I want to be, I want to make a pretty big statement here, because shoplifting has always gone on. And anybody who's ever worked in retail, have you ever worked in retail before, Buck?
No.
I have. So I have worked in Media Play, which was a massive big box store. Some of you may remember Media Play back in the day. It sold books, movies, music. That was my very first job when I was 15 or 16 years old. And then I worked at American Eagle. Buck, I worked at Abercrombie and Fitch in the Pentagon City Mall in Washington, D.C. while I was in college. And you could look across to where they shook down Monica Lewinsky during all of the craziness surrounding the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky escapade, the Ritz-Carlton there, and the restaurants. Like, that was directly across from where I worked. And so there is an ever-present threat, which everybody has to know, that things are going to be sold and stolen. I'll give you an example. When I worked at Media Play as an employee, they would basically frisk us at the end of the day when we left to ensure that we as employees were not stealing from Media Play. And it was a big deal at Abercrombie and Fitch and American Eagle. And we were instructed to watch people in the store. And if we thought that they were stealing something, we were supposed to call security and get them caught while they had the gear on them. I even remember one time a woman came in pretending to be pregnant. She had like the baby bump. It was an artificial baby bump so that she could put gear inside of that baby bump in the store where I worked. Ended up getting caught. And obviously you have the little buzzers that go off and have, you know, consistently failed and gone off sometimes for years and years. So I have a little bit of experience working in retail establishments back in the day. We were told to monitor people who were potentially stealing, and that we should notify authorities. And really, this has been a big deal for a long time. Walmart, memorably, Buck, has always taken the stand, at least historically, that they prosecute everybody, no matter how much they stole, because they wanted the signal to be out there that they believe that shoplifting, because it was such a massive threat to a business that has tiny margins, was important to fight broken window style.
And what we have seen, and this is playing out in particularly the Democrat-controlled cities and strongholds across the country of political power, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Chicago, a large-scale U.S. city. What you've seen are prosecutors increasingly saying, well, we're just not going to enforce that. We don't think it's worth it. We're not going to arrest people over that. The long-standing damage to a person. How will they get a job after their shoplifting conviction? How will they be able to function? So it's for the best if we just start to adjust the parameters of what is actually illegal. They do this with immigration as well, but that's a whole other conversation. Illegal immigration they effectively treat as no longer illegal. But Clay, the logic of this is playing out before our very eyes. When people know they can get away with it, guess what? They do it.
They take advantage of it. Buck, and you were saying in Nashville, I have a friend who works at Nordstrom. She said that, you know, it used to be people would steal things, but they tried to do what they did when I worked in retail. They would try to hide the fact that they were stealing things because they knew that there were consequences. She said people walk in now, and this is in the Nashville, Green Hills Mall in Nashville, for people out there who have ever been in the area. It's a fairly high-end mall, that people will walk in there, not even disguise what they are doing, even will tell security guards, hey, get out of my way, bring in wire cutters to cut high-end purses loose, and just walk right out, middle part of the day. It's specifically instructed not to do or say anything to these people.
Think about this. Play this out. I want everyone to play this out in their heads right now. You are a security guard at a mall, a TJ Maxx, or whatever. You see somebody, you're in a Democrat-controlled precinct, you see the news, you see crime rising, you see prosecutors who are always complaining about how our criminal justice system is too harsh on people who commit minor crimes. And then we find out, well, what about people who commit 90 minor crimes, so to speak? As recently here in New York, someone, I think it was a hate crime attack, they find out the guy had been arrested like 90 times or 100 times.
That's right.
You know, there's reasons why you should process people who commit these crimes. There's reasons why you should keep a record of it. But just play out this thought experiment. You're a security guard. Doesn't matter what skin color you are. Doesn't matter what ethnicity, male, female, doesn't matter. A young minority male is in, as that's what we saw in these videos, specifically in TJ Maxx. Let's say you're in that TJ Maxx, actually, and someone is leaving. One of the guys that we see on video is leaving, and you say, halt. And you, and the guy says, no, I'm not going to halt.
Or flicks you off, probably, which would happen.
Right. And then you stand in his way, and all of a sudden, you know, a shove leads to a struggle, leads to two people are fighting. If you have to use force, meaning, you know, if you punch that guy in the face, or, you know, if violence ensues, as it very easily could in the situation.
You apprehend and hold him?
Right, you apprehend and hold him. Could you trust that the district attorney in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, in New York City would not only prosecute that person, Clay, but not prosecute you for assault? I say no. I say you're rolling the dice, and everybody in those cities knows it.
And what happens there? By the way, we want your phone lines. We're going to have loaded calls. I want you, if you work in retail right now, what are you being told about shoplifting? Are you seeing it at a different level than you ever have before? And how is your store responding? If you don't want to give us the specific store, you know, you can talk generally about what you are being told, because I know some people are fearful for their jobs. So you can say, hey, I work at this place, this mall. If you want to say your real employer, that's great, too. Again, I'm speaking specifically for what I know Nordstrom has instructed employees in many of its different locations. We're going to talk about that when we come back. But first, Buck, we want you to know, if you choose to believe Google, and how many people actually do, then all you need to do to surf the internet privately is turn on incognito mode in your browser. You're supposed to trust big tech with solutions to online privacy, right? Wrong. Of course that's wrong. It doesn't matter what browser mode you use or how often you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider can see every single website you've ever visited, and they can even sell your data to advertisers. That's why Buck and I use ExpressVPN to keep our online data secure and private.
ExpressVPN is also the fastest and most trusted VPN. VPN is a virtual private network, folks. And what that means is that it hides your IP address. It's so easy to use. You know, I'm somebody who always goes, oh gosh, I gotta pair my Bluetooth speaker with something. This is going to be a hassle. The ExpressVPN app, I have it on my phone. I downloaded it. You'll be set up in a couple of minutes. It's so quick and easy to do, which is why they're rated number one for all VPNs by CNET and Wired. Protect your online activity today with the VPN I trust to keep my activity private. Visit expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck to learn more.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. It is shoplifting frenzy. It's like, remember, I'm sure you used to watch this at some point back in the day, Buck. Remember Supermarket Sweepstakes? What was it called? Supermarket. You remember the show?
Where people would just run and they'd take their arms out. They'd run down the aisle and just knock all the Fruit Loops and Count Chocula they could right into the basket.
You were trying to get as much money as you could spent or whatever it was. Supermarket Sweepstakes or Showcase or whatever it was. Like, those of you around our own age or older, you'll remember that as a game show that aired on television where you would run through the supermarket and knock as many things off into your buggy as you could.
You got to go for the smoked salmon, Clay. You got to go right for the lox.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a funny question. I know they do modern day versions of this in YouTube, because my kids watch YouTube all day, where they're like, YouTubers will draw a circle, like in a Walmart, and say, hey, anything that you can fit in this circle, I'll pay for. And you get like 15 minutes to get as much stuff as you can. And it's pretty addictive video to watch. My kids watch YouTube all the time. So I've seen the modern day version of this. But that's kind of the world that we're in, where there are now basically every day viral videos of targeted, without fear, shoplifting incidents. And we opened up phone lines because I wanted to hear from people who are experiencing this. And Chris in LA, he says he's a cop and he's got us a bunch of stories about this. Chris, have you guys been told to stand down effectively on shoplifting in LA area retail?
That's not true at all. I'm a 21-year veteran with the LAPD. Okay, number one, the mask thing on the West Coast hasn't gone away. I just want to throw that out there. Two, you mentioned Nordstrom's. Okay, Trader Joe's, I can speak firsthand on this. Trader Joe's for years tells their employees, hey, someone comes in, they do a smash and grab, you don't get involved.
Yeah.
Okay? That's been going on for years. Cops are still doing their job. Okay, don't believe everything you hear. Okay.
But so when you watch a video, which these videos are out there and they're pretty clear, and prosecutors are being clear that they're not charging yeah. people basically with crimes when they're stealing less than this.
This has been going on for years. But, okay, look at in L.A., right? L.A. County. Look at George Gascon's, our district attorney, okay? Who funded that dude? George Soros.
Soros, yeah.
He beat an incumbent who was a female black. Okay, so the police arrest you, right? They spend 6 hours with an arrest. Most of the time, those individuals are out because there's no bail. They're out before the cops go home.
So Chris, okay? Just to be clear, like Chris, what you're saying is that it's even if you do the arrest, it can fall down on the prosecutorial side and in the bail side of it, where they're not doing enough there. Is that fair?
Hey, gentlemen, you act like the police have a choice whether to arrest you or not. There's laws of arrest. We have to, whether it's a private person's arrest, whether it's a misdemeanor, whether it's a felony.
Well, Chris, you're telling us what's going on in Los Angeles. The situation in San Francisco is that the district attorney has said they will not affect or process an arrest in San Francisco for less than $700 of theft. That is the policy, sir.
The $700 rule is the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony. So San Francisco, that's state law. That's actually, so from San Diego all the way to the northern border of California, those laws are the same. The money value is the same. Okay. So this started years ago. Look up Prop 47 in California. Okay. It turned felony drug, laws into misdemeanors. Okay.
Chris, can you stay with us? Cause I actually have some questions about what police are doing and what your response is, but we got to hit a hard break here and, we'll bring you back. We got a lot of people who want to react to what we are discussing here, and we'll bring all of this crew back. If you're hanging with us, hang with us a bit longer here. In the meantime, since the pandemic started, 20% of homeowners have refied their homes. 20%. That's a super smart decision because you could save hundreds a month, maybe even $1,000 a month. Many homeowners saving $500 or more just by lowering their interest rate. All it takes is a 10-minute call to American Financing. Free mortgage review. Why would you not check this out? You could save hundreds or thousands of dollars for your family, and they'll get you pre-qualified for free. All you have to do to potentially also postpone two mortgage payments is call American Financing, and you need to do it right now while rates are low. Get your phone out. Call 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109, or visit AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing, NMLS 182334.
This is James Golden, host of the podcast series Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the Golden EIB microphone. The next episode in our series is out. Make sure to listen wherever you get your podcast. We're sharing so many behind-the-scenes stories, remembering the man we love. MyPillow and Tunnel to Towers Foundation are both sponsors. Tunnel to Towers Foundation and MyPillow are both sponsors.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have opened up lines here to take some calls about the lawlessness that we're all seeing in different places across the country. Clay telling stories from people he knows, what they're seeing at their workplace. 800-282-2882. I always tell Clay, my drugstore on my corner, on my block, anything that they think could be easily sold after being stolen is kept under 24/7 lock and key, which is super annoying because obviously you have to go get the attendant to come open the key for you.
That's right.
I mean, everything you want to get. But beyond the irritation of it, it's depressing because it's sending a signal to everyone in that neighborhood that theft is so common and happening so frequently that this is the only way we can deal with it. So it is that it's like walking past the empty building with the broken windows, to go back to that theory. We were discussing with a police officer in L.A., and I just know, you know, Clay, I have an uncle who was career LAPD, in fact.
Yeah,
we got cops in my family. But we got Chris out of Los Angeles, and you had a specific question you wanted to pose to him to finish up our conversation with him.
Yeah, Chris, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you being a cop. We need as many people as we possibly can, and this show tries to back the blue to the best of our ability. But, Chris, I guess what I'm getting at is, do you feel like it is sort of an unwinnable task for you to arrest someone for shoplifting when, as you said, they're basically going to be back out on the street before you even finish your shift?
I mean, yes and no, but we still have a job to do, and the cops are doing that, guys. They are. Trust me. It's a double-edged sword. You have that feeling, but you got to do your job. So someone calls the police. It's a 911 call. It gets dispatched to the officers. Officers in droves are still responding. People are going to
jail. No doubt. You guys are still doing your job. But by the way,
they're not keeping up. But the other side of the, they're not keeping up with their deal in regards to prosecuting these dudes and putting them in jail. They're not doing it. So you got to follow that. So there's police. There's prosecutors. There's district attorneys. There's chiefs. There's mayors. There's governors.
The softness on crime is symptomatic from political leadership, as we've been talking about a lot on this show, Buck. And the criminals are smart. I know people don't like necessarily to hear that.
Well,
they
respond to incentives.
That's a good way of putting it. They understand what they can and cannot get away with. And I think that's why you're seeing such an emboldened criminal element as it pertains to what is relatively low-level crime skyrocketing.
I just, to be clear, I think that our officer who called in a moment ago, we thank Chris for calling from L.A., but I think he's thinking that we're saying cops aren't doing their jobs.
No.
And that's not what either you or I have ever said on the show. Cops are being, well, when we're talking about defunding, of course, that does affect law enforcement's ability to do their jobs. But the decisions made about things like how long someone is held, do they have bail, do they face real charges, that's coming at a level above law enforcement officers on the street. And that's where, you know, cops show up, they arrest you. If you're out, as you are here in New York City, the same day, that sends a very different message than, you know what, you might spend a weekend in the Tombs waiting to show up. You might spend a weekend in Rikers Island, the big prison here, before you actually go before a judge. And this is something now that the criminal element, I mean, San Francisco's numbers speak for themselves. After they passed in 2014, so it goes back a ways, Proposition 47, which made theft worth less than $950 a misdemeanor. Guess what's happened year in and year out and gotten much worse in the last couple of years, Clay? More stuff being stolen. What a shock.
And this all factors in with the overall, we refer to the broken windows theory, which is as people see crimes happening, they are less likely to respect the rule of law and larger crimes begin to happen. And also here, the other thing that I am saying is I believe that many different corporations, based on what I am hearing, are not prosecuting themselves. So it's not only that the DAs are making lenient decisions as it comes to prosecuting crimes. It's that the stores themselves aren't even bothering calling police or even prosecuting or trying to track down the people who are responsible for many of the robberies and shoplifting that's going on.
And
in
the example that I gave right before we went to the break, I was talking about store security.
Right
now, if your store security now, I guess you can call the police, but as we all know, that's not hard for someone then to say, all right, I'm going to walk out of your store now with my arms full of stuff pretty casually, because the cops aren't going to get there in 20 seconds.
Right.
So someone's stolen. And then if they're not going to be prosecuted, there won't be the incentive to track them down after the fact. But you see, this all comes from there are leftist and Marxist and intersectional theories of property crime as not something that should really be punished, right? We heard this during the riots with BLM. We've heard this for many, many months now. I do want to bring in Andrew in Miami, Florida, who's also got some thoughts on this one. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How are you doing today?
We're good. Excellent. What's up?
Not much. No, I mean, I was hearing you guys talking about it, but in reality, I've been seeing this happening for the past 3 to 4 years, especially in the Walgreens in the West Miami area where I was living. And it was to a point I was pretty friendly with the employees, and I would see people come in with this straight look on their face and go down the aisle, grab what they wanted, walk straight out of the store, just with no care in the world. And I would look at them and I ask them, you guys are going to call the cops or do anything? They're like, no, the store tells us not to do anything, that they'll steal them on camera and they'll deal with them if they deal with them. So that's been happening for years and years now.
It's getting worse. I appreciate the call. That's crazy to me. Like the Walmart theory, whether you agree or disagree with it, because it's expensive, obviously, to pursue charges in every case. But their theory, Buck, was that if you don't prosecute shoplifters aggressively, you send the message that you don't care, which costs you more money in the long run, yeah, which I tend to agree with.
Walmart's saying, you break our windows, you buy our windows. Meaning,
yes,
if you step out of line, you break the law, you're going to suffer consequences for it. And this is essential in a society that believes in law and order. Ed in Ohio had an interesting story on this one. What's up, Ed?
How are you, sirs?
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. How about yourselves?
We're good. What's up?
There's a store that I really can't. I guess I could. It's a Circle K's, but they don't allow their employees to stop anybody from stealing. If you want something, you just walk right in, grab it, and you walk out. And one day I found somebody that watched them put stuff in their pocket. I said, told the clerk, I said, you know, this guy just stuck probably like $50 worth of sunglasses in his pocket. They were the nice ones, the Pugs. And I said, there's nothing we can do. We didn't see him do it. And I said, I did. Stand back. So I went ahead and I told him, I said, I watched you put the sunglasses in your pocket. You need to put them back. If you didn't see me do anything, I saw you put them in your pocket. You can either put them back willingly or I'll take them back.
Okay.
And he pulled them out of inside pockets of his big jacket he was wearing, and he threw them on the floor. A few of them busted. I said, "Have a nice day." And the clerk said, "And don't come back." They're allowed to tell them that if they see them do it. They can't physically touch them and take their stuff back, but they can tell them, "Don't come back."
Ed is like the Clint Eastwood of Ohio here. Ed, thank you so much, man, for joining us.
No doubt. Rob in Albany, to wrap this up. Rob, what are you say that your wife's a retail manager and they just walk right in with full bags, fill them up, and walk out, and nothing happens?
That is correct. They have it's a large store. I don't want to get into names here. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but it's a large store because the corporate doesn't want anybody to stop anybody, just like you're talking about. And so there's
even security guards.
Store. What's that?
Even security guards that they're hiring theoretically to do security inside the store. They're telling them not to do anything.
Well, that's just the thing. So there are certain days there are security staff there that monitor the cameras, and they can apprehend. Now, when I say they apprehend, they take them back to a room and they tell them to sit down. The person can get up and leave anytime they want, but they do, you know, take them back there and make them sit down. But what they do is they come in the front door, not a store. It's in a mall, but this store has its own access from the parking lot. So they come in from the parking lot side of the store. They walk in the store, they pick out an area that they want to go grab a bunch of stuff in. They bring the bags with them. They literally load the bags and then walk to the exit. They walk in they take the exit that's in the mall so they can mix with all the people once they go through the exit into the mall. So my wife, she stops, she goes over by the doorway that goes into the mall, and she stands there. Now she's a little tiny little thing. She's older. She's not a young, you know, person. And there's four of them or so. And she says, I'm going to ask you to put the stuff back. And they write out flat, said, you aren't going to do it. You aren't going to do anything. And so my wife says, you're absolutely right. You're correct on that. And she steps out of the way and lets them walk right out of the mall. She couldn't do anything. There's not a thing she could
do. And she would have been ill-advised to try to do anything because of the nature of how these situations are being treated by law enforcement. Rob, thank you so much. We're going to come back into more of this. You know, Clay, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez actually weighed in not long ago on this one.
Of course she did.
I think we should remind everybody what her explanation for the shoplifting is. Plus, we've got General Mark Milley talking about Afghanistan right now as I'm speaking to you, saying 95% of the withdrawal from Afghanistan is complete. Clay, if we have time in the third hour, some thoughts on what's happening in that country, Taliban strategy. I've been talking to some top people about the very dire situation on the ground there. But just take a second here to think about what you could do for your dog, because we all love our dogs, right? I love Tallulah, the family French bulldog, and we want to make sure she's as happy and healthy as possible. She's almost 12 years old now, so she's getting up there. That's why we add Rough Greens into her dog food. You can use whatever dog food you currently like and your dog enjoys. You add Rough Greens, though, as a healthy supplement, and you put it into your dog's food to make sure your dog gets all the live nutrients necessary for her or his superior health. They've got 23 all-natural vitamins and minerals from fruits and vegetables, 20 digestive enzymes to aid in digestive health, and 15 powerful strains of probiotics. You know, the stuff that we're always eating yogurt for. Dogs need that, too. Get it today, Rough Greens. It's going to make your dog feel so much better. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love Rough Greens, they've worked out a special deal for our listeners. Go to roughgreens.com/clayandbuck, and they're going to give you the first bag free. You heard me right, free. Just cover shipping, and your free bag of Rough Greens will be on its way to your home. Go to roughgreens.com/clayandbuck.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. You are listening to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Encourage you to go download the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a minute of the show. You can go give us 5 stars as well. Search out my name, Clay Travis. Search out Buck Sexton, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever your podcast desires may be fulfilled. You can find your boys there. Speaking of which, we are going to have Senator Rand Paul on at the start of the third hour of the program. Obviously, major fireworks over Rand Paul's discussion with Dr. Fauci regarding gain-of-function research, COVID. The two guys have been going head-to-head. Should be a really interesting discussion we will have with him. He is our guest right off the top of the third hour of the program. But we're discussing the quality of life issues that have declined in many ways all over America. And the broken windows theory, of course, which holds that the more small crime you allow, the larger the crimes become. And shoplifting is a small crime that many people are becoming more and more exposed to as it grows across this country in broad daylight. And, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's got really interesting theories about why shoplifting may be going up. Listen.
Why is this uptick in crime happening? Maybe this has to do with the fact that people aren't paying their rent and are scared to pay their rent. And so they go out and they need to feed their child and they don't have money. They're put in a position where they feel like they either need to shoplift some bread or go hungry.
Clay, I'm pretty sure that the AOC theory there, I'm pretty sure that no one can derive sustenance, that the macros for the weightlifters out there would be off if you tried to eat a Gucci bag or you were trying to sustain yourself with, you know, $200 Nike sneakers. No, I have a feeling that the people who are targeting high-end department stores for incredibly expensive clothing, what you would consider conspicuous consumption types of goods, it's not because they're starving and they're feeding a family of seven at home. It's because they want a pair of $400 sunglasses for free with no consequences.
Yeah, the Inspector Javert, I think is how you pronounce his name, right? The Les Miserables example, which AOC went with
Javert.
There. For those of us who had to read that book or have watched the plays back in the day, you know, the idea that we are throwing the book at people who are stealing food, that is a different universe than what is going on right now, which is organized and targeted direct shoplifting in broad daylight. And it's not even attempting to be hidden, which is what I was saying from my experience working in retail. I spent a lot of years working in retail as a younger person. And back then, it was at least surreptitious. The idea was, I'm going to steal something and not be seen. Right. Buck, now it's just broad daylight.
Well, and there's this underlying theme on the left all the time these days of, these are big corporations. This is a wealth.
They can afford it.
This is a wealth redistribution program. It's no big deal. In fact, there have been some who will say that these thefts that are occurring, if and when they do involve a minority participating in the theft, is really a form of social justice and righting historical wrongs. There have been politicians, there are pundits who will say such things. They will also say, for example, during the BLM riots, that property crimes should not. Property crimes are just a thing that happens when you're pursuing social justice. You can't lock people up for that, which is why when Trump said they'd give 10 years for the destruction of federal property. By the way, do you think that actually ended up happening, Clay? You think the DOJ sent anyone away for years for destroying statues or trying to light a church on fire? Nope. But you're in the Capitol building at the wrong time. You get 8 months, and that's if you plead guilty. Interesting how that happens.
When we come back, Rand Paul will join us. Explosive controversy over how COVID got out of a Chinese lab and whether American tax dollars helped to make that occur with gain of function research. We'll talk about that. We're also going to ask him. Remember, he's a doctor, and we're all supposed to be listening to doctors, according to the left-wing blue check marks out there, at least the doctors who say the things that they like. Why are we not talking more about natural immunity in this country? Everything is all about the vaccine and vaccinated immunity. What about those of us who have already had COVID? What should our decisions look like as it pertains to the vaccine? We'll ask Rand Paul what he thinks about all that. Buck Sexton, Clay Travis, it is rolling. Should be a really interesting conversation. Coming up next, hang with us. It's going to be fun. This is our show.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.